On Thursday, the 5th of February, there's a long list. At 8 p.m. at the Starless Center for the Arts, there's Emerson String Quartet. At Madison Square Garden, there's Slipknot with Coheed and Cambria and Trivium. At 7:30 p.m. at the Crazy Donkey, there's English Beat. At 7 p.m. at the Fillmore at Irving Plaza, there's Big Head Todd and the Monsters. At the Radio City Music Hall, there's John Legend with Estelle. This has been your concert music billboard with Dr. Wilbur Larch from WSB Stony Brook. Thank you for listening.
Best billboard ever. It's 3 minutes after 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, and it's time once again for Off the Wall. Oh, that's right. We didn't pick a theme, did we? Okay, yeah, that's right. We don't have the theme anymore because the Bush days are over, and we have to pick a new theme. And I've been busy this week, okay, so sue me. All right, well, we did get some mail. Let's get this together here. Okay, all right, this is a nice one here. This is from Dave in Ireland, and I want to thank you, Dave, for writing. He says, Dear Emmanuel, I've just listened to the most recent show, heard your request for a new theme, possibly something from Philip Glass. It would be nice. It would be the best if we could find something from Philip Glass, because it's always worked. We had that for Brain Damage, or part of Brain Damage anyway. We had it for the entire run of Off the Wall. We've used it for many other things as well. Just has a good sound to it, you know. Philip Glass has that appeal. Anyway, continuing with this letter. I've dreamed for ages about having my own show at some point, but let's face it. It's not going to happen. Why? Why, Dave? Why? Why is it not going to happen? Of course you can do your own radio show. Now, you know, everyone can do an internet radio show. That's certainly true. And if you don't have the luck of having a wonderful place like WUSB at your disposal, where you can just stumble in one day as a freshman in college and start doing radio, well, then I guess you can do something from your home and just become good at it. But hopefully there's a community radio station somewhere around. Otherwise, how do people get good at radio? How do people experiment and learn new things? In this day of technology and increasing access to the tools of the trade, it seems like there should be more opportunities than ever, not less. And somehow, way back in those old days, it seemed like things were easier when there were less outlets. Only one band. There wasn't satellite. It was just FM. There wasn't the internet. There was just radio. Yet now, for some reason, it seems like freeform radio is getting scarcer and scarcer. That's just sad. Oh, in any event, continuing with your letter. Anyway, in the course of these daydreams, I decided on my ideal theme song. This is extremely sad, I know. It's a Philip Glass track titled Osama's Theme, Kayoko's House. It's one of the rare times he worked with guitars, and I love it dearly. Well, let's give it a shot. Here's the piece that we've managed to queue up that you think might be good for an intro. And again, anyone else who has ideas for pieces for the intro, otw@2600.com is our email address. We're going to have to find something soon, because obviously we can't go without a theme for too long, otherwise the show itself becomes irrelevant. But let's listen to a bit of this piece that Dave from Ireland is suggesting. Now, I'm a long-time listener to your show, and I know the length of the current old theme saved your butt a few times after delays and whatnot in the studio, and this track that I'm suggesting is only 3 minutes long. But there's another track from the same album called Kyoto's House, Stage Blood Is Not Enough. It's essentially a more sedate, drawn-out, longer version of the other track. And there it is. In fact, it sounds exactly the same. And actually, you know what? It's 1 second longer. So, yeah, I guess technically it is longer. So you could play the first track and have the second track automatically queued to come on. And, you know, it's nice. I feel like I should be dancing now, though. It's kind of a peppy piece here. So I'm taking this for a test drive for background music as I talk. It's kind of high-pitched, don't you think? Yeah, but I can adapt. Alternatively, you could just use a second, the piece that we're playing right now. But according to Dave, the whole soundtrack is rather brilliant. I thoroughly recommend you check it out. There are other tracks that would work too, such as the final, which maybe we'll get to in a few minutes. Anyway, I love the show. I could make suggestions all night along the lines of Sonic Youth, Anagrama, Beautiful Plateau, Death in Vegas would be great. I've played them many times, and I don't know. I'm not sure if they would work for this show, but it's definitely something to consider. Anyway, thanks, Dave, for writing in, and thanks for expressing your enthusiasm, because that's what it's all about. And certainly, we are in need of a theme, and we are appealing to our listeners for help on that score. No pun intended. I do like this. This could work. But there was actually another piece on there I wanted to try as well. Let me go over here. What do you think of this? Good evening. It's time for Off the Wall. Sounds a little ominous, I guess. Maybe even militaristic. And it's taking a little too long to actually do something. Guess I could edit that down. Okay, enough with the drums. Let's get into it. Yeah, there we go. I guess this is where I start talking about the state of affairs in the world, how everything is going down the tubes. Obama's invading more countries somewhere in the world. I do like this. I do like it. It's a little overly dramatic. And the problem with that is that not every week we have drama, you know? So some weeks it would work, some weeks it would not. But I do like that one as well. Let's try another one over here. This one I think is, this is a longer piece. So that would save my butt a few times if I had to do other things. Good evening. It's time for Off the Wall. It's so hard. I like them all. Actually, I guess we should get started with the show. So we can use this as sort of a test theme as we talk about some of the news of the day and give various other updates. You are, by the way, listening to Off the Wall. This is Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Actually, we're here a little longer tonight. Sometimes this happens where basketball usually cuts us off, but this time basketball is starting a little bit later. And for some reason, Finn decided not to come in for a 15-minute show tonight and brave the storm. Well, yeah, we're having a snowstorm right now, which is great. You know, I had a lot of fun trying to get over here, driving sideways at some points. But it does, it's worth it. It's worth it sometimes. Well, no, it's worth it all the time. What am I talking about? Risking death to get to the radio station. Now, basketball game is going to be, what we got here? Is it men or is it women? Hold on. Okay, it's women and they're in Maine. Oh boy, I don't envy them. They're in Maine where it's got to be snowing even worse than it is here, so that'll be fun. All right. So that's coming up, so we'll be on like an extra 5-10 minutes, and we will be taking phone calls. So let me give out the phone number, 631-632-9872. So tonight, I sort of like to give listeners free rein to talk about things, issues that are on their minds. Of course, we have plenty of material to fill space in case you don't want to do this. But figuring about 10, 15 minutes or so, we'll go to the phones, and hopefully there'll be people there, interesting people, people with things to say, and perhaps more themes to suggest. I'm told we have to decide the theme this month sometime. And, of course, it is a new month now. It's now February. I do like this one, too. The problem is it might be a little too good. That's the thing, you know. I find myself not wanting to talk and just wanting to listen to the music, and then I think people might get upset when I talk over the music because I'm basically replacing something great with something mediocre. And yeah, it's but it is nice. It is good. Okay, we have another suggestion. Let's give this one a try, too. I don't want to spend the whole hour, or hour and 10 minutes, talking about themes, but we do need to decide this. We do need to settle this. Now that we're in the Obama days, the show needs a new musical theme to begin with. We don't want to associate with the George W. Bush days, which every single edition of the show prior to last week was, because we started in 2003. So let's give this a shot as another potential theme for Off the Wall. Yeah. naturally, I thought it was a serious suggestion, all right? So next time, if you're going to suggest something to the show, make sure that it's not a joke, because I take these things seriously, all right? I got to go. I'm sorry, folks. That apparently was a joke suggestion. I thought it was a real suggestion, and of course we're not going to open the show with North Korean music every week. And it's very hard to speak over, for one thing, because they're always singing. So let's... All right, you know, you can have a lot of fun with this. You can, you know, take me for a ride or something like that, and I'll fall for a lot of things. But seriously, we need to get a theme here, and hopefully we'll get a decent one. All right, again, OTW at 2600.com is our address. I'm going to try one more, which is actually a combination of two songs, but I'm going to talk over it. So here's another piece from Philip Glass. I know this is not a joke, because it's from the same album that Dave Marlin suggested, and I know pretty much all the tracks here are good. So once again, possible theme for Off the Wall. All right, this is Off the Wall. We'll be taking phone calls in just a little bit. But first, let's give some updates on various things that are going on. All kinds of fun in the government as the Obama administration moves forward with various other appointments. Well, Tom Daschle, he withdrew today as the possible nominee for the Department of Health and Human Services, because of all these tax issues. Yes, tax issues. That does sound dramatic. Apparently, he forgot to pay about $140,000 in back. I don't know how people forget to pay taxes. I think you pretty much know you're not paying taxes. But it seems that so many people are being affected by this. Now, Daschle is the former Senate Majority Leader. It's interesting. He was the Majority Leader of the Senate for quite a while, and this never came up then. But he apologized yesterday for failing to pay his taxes in full. Maybe he thought that, I don't know, a percentage would be good enough. And this is where it goes to the second piece. But you know what? There's a bit too much silence here, so it's kind of awkward. And I hope, yeah, the CD player managed to go to the second piece just fine, but could tighten that up, I suppose. He said earlier he was deeply embarrassed for a series of errors that included failing to report $15,000 in charitable donations, unreported car service, and more than $80,000 in unreported income from consulting. Well, being the Senate Majority Leader, you might forget a few things. It's possible. Now, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson withdrew his nomination to be Commerce Secretary, citing the distraction of a federal investigation into ties to a company that has done business with his state. Tim Geithner was recently confirmed as Treasury Secretary, but he was questioned over concerns involving his personal taxes and the immigration status of a former housekeeper. And then you had Nancy Killefer, who failed for a year and a half to pay employment taxes on household help. She's withdrawn her candidacy to be the first chief performance officer for the federal government. I don't even know what that is. First chief performance officer. Anyway, she won't be. because all these people having trouble with taxes and illegal immigrants and things like that. I have to wonder, though, because so many people are having so many issues whenever they're brought into the public light. Maybe we're all just a little bit imperfect. Maybe we all have some immoral behavior in our past. I know I do. I certainly do. All kinds of skeletons about me that if I was to become Commerce Secretary or something like that, that would come up. And I believe to this day they continue. They continue to be issues, and God willing, in the future as well. Makes life a lot more interesting. But, you know, I guess if you're going to be in the public eye, if you're going to be a public servant, you have to somehow maintain a higher quality. Oh, that's it? It's over? I was so fast. I was just getting into it. Oh, well. No more themes. That's pretty much it. But when you become somebody in the public eye, yes, I guess you do have to be perfect. And since nobody is perfect, that means you have to somehow be really good at lying. And that's what we have in power in the country usually, are people that are big hypocrites that are basically doing things and covering up very well for them. But we're no better because we're judging people based on silly things. I mean, yeah, if you're a violent criminal or something like that, you probably shouldn't be holding public office. But somebody simply cheats a little on their taxes. Well, I don't know about a little, but $150,000 is a lot. But maybe it's open to interpretation. You know, the tax code is so crazy, I can't figure it out. You know, maybe you're supposed to report something and you didn't know you're supposed to report something. Maybe there's another form you're supposed to fill out. I've had this happen in the past where basically there was a particular type of thing you had to file, but nobody told me until finally an accountant said, oh, yeah, you didn't know about that? No, I didn't know about that, you schmuck. Nobody told me. How am I supposed to know? I'm not an accountant. And that's what happens. If you don't know everything, then you're liable to make mistakes. And if you make mistakes, then you're not perfect. And if you're not perfect, then you shouldn't be running any kind of department any place, because we only have perfect people running things. All right. Speaking of perfection, the GOP leaders have come out with a list of various things that are wasteful in the Senate stimulus bill. You've been hearing about this, right, in the news, about the stimulation that the economy needs. And the fact that I guess is all this this waste in the $900 billion stimulus bill that's currently being debated. Now, I'm going to read a few things, a few bits in this, and I'd like to know if people think that this is all a waste. $2 billion earmarked to restart FutureGen, a near-zero emissions coal power plant in Illinois that the Department of Energy defunded last year because it said the project was inefficient. Well, interesting. I've heard it said that there is such a thing as clean coal. I don't believe it. But the question is, does such a thing exist? Is it possible for such a thing to exist? Near zero's emission coal power plant. $2 billion for that. I guess we should decide if that's possible. Obviously, the Republicans don't like it because they defunded it. And, you know, they don't like other things that are environmentally friendly as well, such as $600 million to buy hybrid vehicles for federal employees. Why is that a bad thing? Hybrid vehicles. Federal employees will drive hybrid vehicles. Of course, you got to buy them. So there's money for that. That seems like a good thing to me. Now, here's a bad thing. A $246 million tax break for Hollywood movie producers to buy motion picture film. All right, that's silly. That's stupid. $650 million for the digital television converter box coupon program. Well, you know what? That's something that that the government kind of got itself into by selling off the spectrum to the TV stations and changing the rules and leaving a lot of people in the dark. Not literally, but their TV sets with a lot of snow on them. Seems only fair, you know, if you're going to go out and make people buy something so that they can continue to get what they're currently getting for nothing, that you should help them out a little bit, especially if you're making a ton of money doing it, and the federal government and the broadcasters are making a fortune off of this. The federal government got billions of dollars for the bandwidth that they, or the spectrum that they sold to these broadcasters. The broadcasters are getting up to four television stations where they had one before, and they can sell the time. Actually, they do sell the time on all four of them. I believe it's even legal for them to have pay-per-view or closed-circuit type of broadcast, things that you have to have a special device to receive. I'm pretty sure that that is part of it. But even if it's not, they can simply have a channel that's just infomercials, make a ton of money off of that, while they have three others to do God knows what with. So, yeah, they're making a lot of money. They should pay for it. Government and the industry. We've got that. We've got $1.4 billion for rural waste disposal programs. Yes, what's wrong with that? Why is that a waste? No pun intended there either. But that sounds like improvement to the infrastructure, which is what the stimulus is supposed to be doing. $125 million for the Washington sewer system. Again, that sounds like infrastructure to me. $200 million for public computer centers at community colleges. I don't know if that sounds like waste. Sounds like a good thing to have. $25 million for tribal alcohol and substance abuse reduction. Well, that's not really the infrastructure, is it? But it's not really that much either. But again, it might not be something that belongs in the stimulus bill. $500 million for flood reduction projects on the Mississippi River. Don't we want to not have floods? Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that something that the infrastructure would benefit from, not flooding? $10 million to inspect canals in urban areas. You kind of have to do that, don't you? $6 billion to turn federal buildings into green buildings. God forbid we save energy costs. You know, it's incredible because most of these things that I'm reading are actually things that do not sound like waste at all. $500 million for state and local fire stations. $850 million for wildland fire management on Forest Service lands. $1.2 billion for youth activities, including youth summer job programs. I mean, that sounds like it's stimulating the economy, the infrastructure, the country in general. $850 million for Amtrak. What's wrong with that? You have to fund high-speed rail if you want it to continue. High-speed rail is subsidized by, I think, every government in Europe, and they have great systems. We need to start doing the same. I know we've been doing it a little bit, but we haven't been doing it enough. We subsidize the airlines to an incredible degree. But for some reason, when it comes to trains, we say, oh my God, we can't do this. $200 million in funding for the lease of alternative energy vehicles for use on military installations. Oh yeah, big waste there. Saving more energy. Well, it just goes on and on. I mean, there are a couple of things here that probably don't belong, like $75 million for smoking cessation activities. Okay, that sounds kind of silly. But most of this is important and beneficial. But we'll see what happens as the economy continues to spiral out of control. I heard on the way over here, Fortune Off is going out of business. Yeah, and yesterday Macy's is laying off 7,000 jobs. It's incredible. It's all in a tailspin. And just when we couldn't deal with anything more, we couldn't deal with another crisis facing us, somebody has to air porn during the Super Bowl. Yeah. Puts Janet Jackson to shame. Apparently Super Bowl fans in Tucson, Arizona caught a different kind of show during Sunday's big game. Just as Cardinals superstar Larry Fitzgerald watched himself sprint into the end zone on the stadium's Jumbotron during Sunday's Super Bowl, 10 seconds of eye-popping pornographic imagery flashed across the screens of those watching at home. Comcast Cable said in the written statement, "We are mortified by last evening's Super Bowl interruption and deeply apologize to our customers for the inappropriate programming. Our initial investigation suggests this was an isolated, malicious act." Comcast and several local television stations that carry the signal say they are currently investigating what caused the interruption. It appears this material was only viewed by some Comcast customers, according to a local television station KVOA in a written statement. Television station KVOA added that when the NBC feed of the Super Bowl was transmitted from KVOA to local cable providers and through over-the-air antennas, there was no pornographic material. Well, that's good to know. NBC wasn't transmitting pornography. So somehow, apparently what happened was that somebody in the cable system was able to override the signal and add their little bit of material. All right. So, that's a big crisis. I'm not hearing anything about the FCC getting involved, probably because this is a cable system, and maybe the FCC doesn't have jurisdiction over what goes on over the cable channel. Who knows? It's entirely possible. All right. So, we have a couple other items as well. Actually, I'd like to play something for people. Something that has not been aired in any other places. And then I think we're going to go to the phones. Oh, look at that. The phones are ringing. Wow, I'm impressed. All right, maybe we'll go to the phones sooner. How about that? Because I do have something I'd like to play. But I know how quickly people lose interest. So let's see if we can go to the phones and come right back. Take some phone calls. 631-632-9872.
Hi, this is Pete Fornital of WNEW-FM, and I'm just here to remind you that you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, New York.
That's our phone number. Wait a minute, it doesn't even make sense, because you just heard Pete Fornital, and you heard me refer to the phone number I just said before you heard Pete Fornital. So, yeah, okay, that can be a little confusing. Well, that is our phone number, 631-632-9872. We are in delay now. Let's take phone calls. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hello, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
You know,
it's
I'm
our
really
it's our.
Losing it, man.
You're really losing it. You're calling us. That's the problem.
What's that?
You're calling us. If you're calling us for any kind of guidance or
okay, I'm not losing it. I'm angry at the Republicans for labeling all those things which you said. You know, like there are bad things, and as you pointed out, many of them are good things. Okay, so what's going on in our country that this group of people can call those things bad things? Okay, so their excuse is that they'll say it's not a stimulus. Can we just take one step back and say for 8 years, when the Republicans introduced any bill, okay, I guess it wasn't a stimulus bill, but, you know, this whole thing about the way the game is played in Washington, I guess, our politicians get what they want for their constituents, and that's referred to by some people as pork. But it's not really pork if some people would like, you know, benefit from it. Okay, is anything really pork, right? No. No. Things are just what people want. Now, you could say if there's corruption at any level, whether it's Democrat or Republican, yes, that I guess we'll call that pork. Let's call the other stuff that's objected to just, you know, Democrats versus Republicans.
Right, right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But the main thing is that, okay, the Democrats are now in power. I say, F the Republicans, let's get this country going in the right direction. Obama has enough straight power in the Senate. Pass the bill. There's no point in, like right now, we're the media. We're watching the Republicans object to stuff, right?
Right.
Okay. So you know what? F the Republicans, the media, the reality is what's going to happen now, Obama and the Democrats will pass all those things that you mentioned, which the Republicans are all up in arms about. F the Republicans, and then they're all good things for America. Let's get them passed and move on.
The thing is, I don't know why we're paying so much attention to this, because don't the votes exist to simply pass this already?
Eric, that's the point. We're paying attention because the media makes an issue, because the media has nothing better to do.
Oh, okay. Well, then we must give them something better to do.
These things, and the country, you know, and then unfortunately, in 8 years or 4 years, if the Republicans get in power, they will eliminate these things.
That's true.
You know?
I know.
Hey, man.
All right, thanks for your call. Let's go to another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yo.
Hi, what's on your mind?
The Dashiell music.
The Dashiell music? We didn't play any Dashiell music. I don't think. You got to turn down your radio. You're going to confuse everybody.
You were doing the story about Dashiell.
Yes, I had music underneath me, I think, but yes.
Whatever music that was, I thought suited the program and your voice quite well.
Okay, I'll make a note of that and listen to the air track later and take note of that. Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm in Lake Grove.
Lake Grove, you're local.
What's that?
You're local then.
I'm local then.
Okay, good. Now, do you have any feelings on any other issues of the day?
Feelings. Oh, geez. Feelings. Woo. Feelings. Nothing I can think of right now. I'll call you back.
All right. Thanks. Oh, boy. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson of Bulgaria.
Oh, Bulgaria. You're one of our regular callers. It's funny. We have regular callers that are local, regular callers that are on the other side of the world. And everybody is unique in their own little way. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to thank you about the report you did from the coronation, the inauguration.
Inauguration, yes.
The president. It was a very good report.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. It was a once-in-a-lifetime event that I wish more people I knew could have experienced.
About the theme song you're trying to pick?
Yes.
The first one you tried tonight was okay and good and all that. And, well, it's for you to pick, I don't know. But have you thought about something bigger, like, say, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony?
Well, I don't know if speaking over a symphony would be appropriate. We do still have a very powerful classical cartel here at the radio station. You don't want to get on their bad side. I mean, it's nothing like it used to be. They still wield a lot of power. And speaking over a symphony might be, the straw on the camel's back. Because they've been looking to get rid of me for a while, those people.
Wow.
With all due respect. Yeah. But, I'm willing to consider almost anything.
Just an idea.
Yeah. What's new in Bulgaria?
In trouble over it. Well, not much. There's been some recent attempts to get rid of a corrupt government, but not too successful.
Tell us about your corrupt government.
What?
Tell us about your corrupt government, assuming you're able to. What makes them corrupt?
I don't want to get into it.
I understand, yes. Mum's the word.
Well, it's not that. It's just that it's too big of a mess.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to get into... Last stupid idea I heard was they wanted to try and tap Skype conversations because the police folk are saying that criminals are using Skype, so we better get into trying to listen in on things, new technologies like that, which is really stupid if you think about technologically.
Is this a Skype call?
No, it's a different type of VoIP.
Uh-huh.
But it's on a telephone on your end, so the end.
It's not the best VoIP call I've ever heard, but okay, well, anything else going on of interest over there?
Well, I can't think of it. It's a bit late in the night.
Yeah, what time is it over there for you?
1:42 a.m. Okay. On the Wednesday.
Well, I do appreciate staying up to give us a call and to say hi to people in America. It's always nice to hear. Are you going to be at any of the hacker events this year?
I still haven't gotten the budget for HAR 2009, but I hope to make it there.
Okay, that of course is the Dutch Hacker Camp taking place in August somewhere in Holland. And full details can be found in the latest issue of 2600. We're also having an American hacker camp over the July 4th holiday. That'll be taking place in Washington State. So definitely, that's called the tour.
Camp. It's a bit far for me.
Yeah, it is a bit far. I realize that, but maybe some of our other listeners will be able to make that as well. That's spelled TOOR camp.
Great.
So, but in any event, there's always something going on. Maybe we'll see you at the next CCC Congress, which takes place in Berlin over the winter.
The end of December, I know of all these.
Yeah, or maybe I'll see you in Bulgaria. It's always a possibility I'll head over there at some point.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yes. All right, listen, thanks for calling. Get some sleep. We're going to take some more calls.
Okay, have a good night.
All right, take care. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yes.
How you doing?
I have an interesting story, I guess economy related.
Okay, let's hear it.
I work for a large company that imports things. I don't want to get too specific because you never know.
You're an importer.
Now, this company is run, family owned and operated, we'll say. And they have an incredibly large amount of money.
Okay, so you're basically importing things, it's run by the family, and there's a lot of money involved. I got you.
Yes. Now, our family members like to have their cars washed, waxed, and fueled every morning on the company dime.
Okay.
Yet, us peons that are being fired left and right.
Uh-huh. I guess a waxed car is good for an image, I suppose, but then again, so are employees.
Right. I think, you know, people are talking a lot about how we have to stimulate the economy and things have to get better, and, you know, we have to all help each other, but I think that there's still a culture in certain circles where they're just on top of everything and everyone, and, their giant fortunes insulate them to the point where they really don't feel this economy the same way we do, and they don't care if we get fired or what happens to us. They still want their Escalades washed every morning.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see that. The whole story about the bonuses that were given out to various Wall Street executives, even after they were being bailed out, the money was just simply misused. You still see the corporate jets being overused. You still see all kinds of waste of money. when these entities can are not in a position to be throwing money around like they have been, especially when the taxpayers are the ones footing the bill. So I think what you're seeing is a real backlash against this, and I guess you're seeing it on a smaller scale.
I am, and the unfortunate thing is because the company I work for is private, none of this would ever come to light. None of this would ever come to the media. It's not like Citibank, where we can say, hey, why are you spending $400 million on a stadium?
Uh-huh, right.
It's all very private, and we don't even know what they do with a lot of their time and money.
Well, the thing is, if it's all private, they're not getting any kind of taxpayer funding?
We don't really know the whole story. The company does own a fairly large not-for-profit that they claim is, you know, the charity arm of the company.
Okay.
So, you know, we really don't know what exactly that does and who's in charge of it. They're very, very hush-hush about all the inner workings of the various departments. And they
it's a private company. Okay, maybe we can turn a blind eye to that, but how are they treating their employees? You say that people are getting fired left and right.
They like to talk about how they treat their employees wonderfully and how they have actually, they've won awards and things for how they treat employees. I wonder how that's possible. I see what I see every day, and I see exactly how much care they really have for their minions, and it makes me very sad. You know, there really is no loyalty to the people underneath.
Okay, but you don't feel comfortable confronting anybody about this?
No, very much not. The family, let's just say the family connections are far and wide.
It sounds rather ominous, but
Several of the family members are in political power.
Uh-huh. Well, then, you know, it seems to me the best thing to do here would be simply to leak something to the media someplace, if politicians are involved, especially.
I would love to. It's just, again, it's one of those, you know, like they said in Batman, town this bad, who do you rat to?
Uh-huh. Well, I could give you my address, but...
I would absolutely love to, you know, get some of this out. It's really incredible. Somebody was recently fired, essentially for being too nice. They were an IT professional.
Right.
But to walk around and say, hey, is your computer working? Can I help you fix it? And they were too friendly, so they got canned.
That's the reason they used?
More or less, yeah.
All right, well, that's something. The thing is, in this day and age, you're going to see a lot of backlash to waste and mismanagement in various companies, private and public. I think, you know, you'll never have a more sympathetic ear than the public these days. So get the message out one way or another.
That's why I'm calling, you know. I probably will send you an email and give you more of the story. And, you know, hopefully there's something you can do with this. The company has roots in Sicily, we'll say.
Okay. Well, that makes it even more interesting. There's all kinds of anonymous ways you can send emails or just tell people various things so it doesn't come back on you. And, you know, being involved in 2600, that's sort of what we've been doing for 25 years, is anonymously ratting things out as far as insecurities and mismanagement. So I think it's never been more important to do that, especially when people are suffering.
You're providing a good service, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about the station you operate from and from the show, is that, you know, you have the ability to do things that Ted Koppel couldn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, the listeners are what make it possible, because they're the ones that provide the content.
It's a wonderful thing, and, you know, thank you for doing what you do, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak a little bit of my mind, and I will be sending you an email. I'll definitely be in touch.
Okay, well, thanks, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. Basically, we're taking phone calls on pretty much any topic right now. We have a little bit of extra time tonight, so we'd love to hear from those listeners that don't usually get through, or that want to call and just never get around to it. Well, this is your chance. I'm not even asking for money. Just want to hear what's on your mind as far as the economy, as far as politics these days, maybe something interesting that's happening locally, all kinds of fun stuff happening in the world that we definitely keep our eyes on here at the radio station. I was going to read something, but there's more calls, so I'm going to take a call. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. I just wanted to make one comment, and it's about all of these politicians with the trouble with the tax reporting.
Okay.
You alluded to it a little bit, but I don't know. I think if somebody's just working like a plain old W-2 job and they don't have a complicated structure, it's hard to appreciate how unbearably complex the tax stuff can be.
Oh, yeah.
And you get to a certain point, and you're not doing your own taxes. You have to hire somebody because you just like you get to a certain level of vehicle, and you need to go to a car mechanic because you just can't work on it yourself.
Or, you know, you have a space shuttle, and you need somebody else to take care of that for you. It gets really, really complex, and even accountants aren't perfect. They get things wrong as well, but you're responsible for that.
True. So I for myself, if I worry about that, because once you hand that off to somebody else and you've entrusted somebody else, either with your car or with doing your tax returns, you know, you kind of go by their advice. And even though you are signing off on it, if you could do it yourself, you would.
Right. It's just what bothers me more is just this obsession we have with having to be 100% perfect in everything. Like, you know, the story just came out, the guy that was caught with the bong, the swimmer guy.
Yeah.
What's his name again? I told
him. Phelps, Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps, yeah. Now, he admitted it right away, but it's a whole big thing. In fact, I heard today that the prosecutor and wherever it happened wants to press charges against him for basically taking a puff out of a bong or something like that. It's you know, it's madness that we have to put people under a microscope, and any imperfection or anything that deviates from the norm even slightly has to be overanalyzed and talked about, and the poor person has to be put through all this scrutiny, when in actuality, who actually was hurt, who was affected by this, other than the one person?
Yeah, and I guess the last comment, I'm going to go to the complete opposite side of the argument and say, you know, if you or I had made anything near that kind of an error that Daschle made or that any of these other people made, it wouldn't just be like, okay, let me write you a check. There would be big problems. There would be prosecutions and huge penalties and, you know.
Yeah, probably. But the thing is, the flip side of that is maybe it wouldn't have even been discovered because it wouldn't have been open to such scrutiny in the first place.
True.
Yeah, that's we won't really know. But and just the amazing amount of such incidents that I keep seeing. For instance, the number of people who hire undocumented workers. You know, like that's the biggest crime of the century, but apparently it happens all the time because of just the way the system is set up. Or the number of people who simply misfile something that they're supposed to file 100% correctly. Seems like this is what a lot of people
documented.
Have happened.
It isn't even just that. If you pay somebody more than $600, which... If you've got a big lawn, even if you are paying a regular person, or maybe you've got someone who comes and cleans your house or a babysitter,
right.
$600 goes pretty quick.
So wait, you're saying if you pay somebody more than $600, what?
Then you need to be claiming them tax-wise and issuing forms. And
Wait a minute. You mean if my auto mechanic, I've got to issue a tax form for him?
No, if you're paying his company, no. But if it's a person that you're giving money to.
What if the company's name is the person's name?
That's different, you know, because then that's a company.
Okay.
But if Joe down the street who operates out of his garage is working on your car for you, and it's not like through his company, if you pay him more than $600, I'm almost positive you have to give him a 1099.
And what if he's undocumented? Then what?
Well, then. Well, he's not claiming it. You're not claiming it. You wait until you run for something and someone snags you.
There you go. That's a country we're living in right now.
Exactly.
Unreal. Okay, well, all we can do is keep watching and hopefully have fun at the same time.
Have a good evening.
Thanks for your call. 631-632-9872. You're listening to Off the Wall. We have basketball coming up at 7:15. Women's basketball up in Maine. That's going to be fun. And until then, we can take phone calls or do other kinds of things. 631-632-9872. I'd love to hear from our listeners and see what's going on in their world. Here's another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel. How are you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Patchogue.
Patchogue.
Patchogue. I had a pay phone.
My favorite place. What's new down there?
Yeah. I belong to a group of people on campus made up of students, faculty, and staff that are sort of dissatisfied with the current president, Kinney, who, you know, is in charge of the university.
Have you been leaving, like, flyers all over the place? Because I've been seeing them.
That's what I was leading up to. We left you a couple of flyers describing our dissatisfaction with what's going on campus.
Okay, well, first of all right, you definitely have issues with the current president of the campus. I recognize that. But, you know, she's leaving. In fact, she might even be gone now. So isn't it time to simply focus on the issues themselves and not the person?
All right, she's actually leaving in June, but this committee that we formed started months ago. Actually, it was started in late 2007, so this is sort of the tail end of it. But we respect your opinion because you've been a part of the campus, you know, and the radio since the late 70s, so we just wanted to know what you thought
about.
Since
the John Toll days, yes. I've seen it all come and go.
Well, the big thing that we hate is the fact that that bridge that everybody loved was torn down, and they falsely said it was unsafe and falling
apart.
Right, well,
just to set the record straight, everybody did not love that bridge. I love the bridge, but I know everybody did not love that. It was, it basically stood for a long time, not going anywhere. It was called the Bridge to Nowhere. It was the original Bridge to Nowhere. Sarah Palin does not know what she's talking about. We had the first Bridge to Nowhere because they built the library backwards, and this is true. If you look at the other side of the library, you'll see where the bridge was supposed to end. And it basically stood there for, I think, a decade or more, just not going anyplace. And they finally made it go left to the Fine Arts Center, and it was the bridge to somewhere.
Yeah.
But then they tore it down a few years ago, saying that it was crumbling or something. Which, you know what? Knowing the quality of construction on this campus, I wouldn't be that surprised if it was crumbling.
Well, we tried to get a hold of the report that did the assessment, and pretty much we feel that it doesn't exist. President Kinney is constantly changing the campus in her opinion about the way it should look, so it's a matter of appearance, not safety. There was no safety issues with it.
Well, okay, so give me an example. Other than the bridge, which, you know, it seems like we're living fine without the bridge, other than the fact that there's an ugly part of the Union Building upstairs that doesn't go anywhere, but then that's just nothing new there. But what else? What else on campus has been ruined or made to look worse or anything like that?
I could go on and on. We don't have the same...
Well, just go on then. Don't go on and on.
We don't have the same concerts that we used to. There's constant construction going on. It seems like there's, low amount of student activism going on because there's just...
Well, yeah, but you can't blame the president for that. You blame the students for that.
In part because there seems to be computer terminals put up everywhere, and there doesn't seem to be a forum. Like in the Union, there used to be a fireside lounge where people used to get together.
Uh-huh, and until the fireplace stopped working.
And that was a place where students would get together and discuss what was going on campus and sort of rally together. It just seems that the way the campus has been changed, it's designed more for technology and appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Put up fountains all over the place, just hoping that it will look nicer. And there's a lot going on with, tuition hikes and classes that are too big because there's too many people.
Right, but, that's always been a complaint at Stony Brook, are classes that are too impersonal and huge and things like that. Now, as for the fountains and things, yeah, maybe there's some waste. Most of that comes from Albany as far as dictating how things get spent. But the tuition increase, I heard a whole big thing about the tuition increase a couple of months ago. Do you have the numbers? How much is tuition actually going up?
The percentage I don't have in front of me, but... One thing we do know that too many students are booked for a class, and then they'll be told with 1 week notice that there's no room for you.
Right.
And they'll allow too many people in the university and in the class so that money can be wasted as she sees fit, and that, the person won't have a chance to be in that class because they'll get like a last-minute notice. There's just tons of things.
Yeah, but you know what? This is I've been hearing about this for decades. These are the kinds of things that just happened at Stony Brook. I'm not saying they're not relevant issues. I'm just saying that she herself didn't bring these on. They're just here all the time.
Well, there's several staff that have started petitions, and there's so many more things. We don't have the time to go into it over the air now,
right.
But, it's much more than that. Marburger did a better job, the former president, and it's just people are really disgusted, and I'm sure although the listeners can't see what was in that ad because, you were given a copy of it, and, we can't describe it over the radio, but there was some pretty, graphic and...
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. You can't describe it over the radio, meaning that it was a bit lewd in some places. I'm not really sure that bolsters your argument very much.
Right. That was made by a few people, However, it didn't have the endorsement of everybody, but at this point people are just so disgusted, it's just, you know.
Well, I mean, it's good. It's good when people get disgusted and actually do something constructive and maybe demonstrate or sign petitions or things like that. But the important thing is to be able to focus and know exactly what it is that you're upset about and to know that the person you're upset at is responsible for what you're upset about.
Right. We've asked for meetings. They've been declined. No response. So it's like the person doesn't want to give a forum to be able to discuss the things because she knows she's wrong.
Well, or maybe she saw one of the flyers and doesn't want to talk to people who put out flyers like that. That's possible, you know.
This was even more than a year ago before that.
Okay, all right. It's just that, you know, we live in this society where there are message boards everywhere, where everybody has a voice and everybody's clamoring in one way or another, and you can't give attention to everybody for every single issue that they bring up. Now, the more people you get on your side and the more organized you are and focused on the actual issues, the more the people in charge are forced to take these issues seriously, and then they can't turn you down.
Right. Well, I mean, you're a part of the radio station, but not, I'm guessing not a current student. But
no, I'd be very stupid if I was, because I graduated in 1982.
You would notice it more if you were, you know, currently enrolled and seeing what was happening to you directly.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I just wanted to, you know, give you, you know, that ad just to see what your opinion was.
Okay, is there any kind of website you can direct people to or anything where people can get involved?
Stony Brook sucks. www.stonybrooksucks.com.
Well, congratulations on getting that domain. I guess people will learn all about what sucks about Stony Brook there. It should be a lot of information. I can certainly add to that, I'm sure.
Yep.
All right. Thanks thanks for your call. Good luck to you.
Hey, thanks. Bye.
All right. That's something. You know, activism on campus is a great thing. When people have demonstrations about all sorts of issues, that's how you make change. But the important thing is to know exactly what it is that you're trying to change and to do it in a way that wins people over, gets a real movement started. That's one of the things you used to learn in college. And I'm sorry, I can't put blame on student apathy on anyone but students because they need to get their asses in gear and start doing things themselves. When I went to school here, it was basically the same half dozen people doing everything, it seemed. The ones running all the clubs, the ones trying to whip up some commotion someplace. And I don't think it's gotten much better as far as getting people involved. People just want to do their 4 years and get out and get a job and become all mundane and predictable. It's sad. Okay, that's going to do it for phone calls. Let me quickly get out of delay now. I wanted to play something that is not allowed to be played in some other places. It's not obscene or anything like that, although I guess it is to some people. But the BBC is coming under a lot of fire. In fact, all the broadcasters in the UK seem to be falling into step here. BBC executives made the decision last week and have reaffirmed it, that they will not be airing a television appeal by aid agencies for victims of Israel's recent military actions in Gaza. The three-week Israeli campaign in Gaza had already elicited a fresh barrage of complaints about BBC bias for and against Israel, but the decision to block the ad appeal, rather the aid appeal, sorry, had the effect of magnifying the protests and their virulence. Now, it's interesting because if this were a natural disaster of some sort, if this were an earthquake, if this were a tornado or a flood or something like that, it wouldn't even be an issue. But because it's a bombing campaign, it doesn't matter. Those same innocent people, and they are innocent people, no matter what you think about what's going on, the people there are innocent. The ones who are dying, more than 1,000 people who were killed, had nothing to do with hurling rockets over into Israel. And, you know, it happened again today. Palestinian militants fired a long-range rocket from Gaza into the Israeli coastal city of Ashkelon today, the first such rocket since the truce took hold more than 2 weeks ago. Have you seen these rockets? I actually saw this in the news today. The rocket it's like a big bottle rocket. I mean, it's much bigger than a bottle rocket as far as width and things like that, but you can hold it in one hand. It's basically like lobbing a very big rocket at somebody. And if it hits them, yeah, it hurts or it can kill somebody. But it so rarely hits anybody or anything. But yeah, psychologically, it'll drive you nuts knowing that these things could be in the sky at any time. But the reaction The reaction is just simply what Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said. He promised a sharp and disproportionate response to the continuing trickle of rocket fire. A disproportionate response. They actually take pride in this. If you throw a rocket at us, we'll kill 100 of your people. That's disproportionate. That's wrong. And saying it's wrong does not mean you're saying that sending rockets or rocks or anything is right. Anyway, this is what the BBC refused to air.
The children of Gaza are suffering. Many are struggling to survive. Homeless and in need of food and water. Today, this is not about the rights and wrongs of the conflict. These people simply need your help. Several hundred have been killed in Gaza in recent weeks. A large number of them have been children. Some of those who have survived are traumatized from the loss of loved ones. UK aid agencies report that 60% of the population is now living in poverty. Thousands are malnourished, with more than 1 million dependent on aid to survive. And the UN says the number of homeless is in the thousands, with 300,000 people without access to running water. As residents here return to the rubble, which used to be their homes, the scale of the devastation is only now becoming evident. Entire streets have been flattened, and in some areas, Gaza looks like it's been hit by an earthquake. Aid workers on the ground say that temporary shelters are finding it difficult to cope with the number of people now living on the streets. The UN reports that 40% of the population are without electricity, causing a virtual collapse of the sewage system and creating an additional public health risk. The hospitals have been overwhelmed with the number of casualties and need more resources to treat them. This is why the DEC has launched this appeal on behalf of its members. They just want to help save lives. They are already working on the ground, but need more money as supplies are running short. So please, donate now. You can give online by going to our website at www.dec.org.uk or donate by telephone at our 24-hour automated credit or debit card line. Please call now on 03 70 60 60 900. That's 03 70 60 60 900. Or you can donate over the counter at any post office. Just £25 can provide blankets for 8 children, £50 can pay for food for a family for 1 month, and £100 will provide a tarpaulin and a kit for a temporary shelter. Please, act now. This region may be used to violence, but many of these children are not. Whatever you are able to give, every pound will make a difference to their survival and help avoid a worsening humanitarian disaster. Thank you.
And that was the appeal from the Disasters Emergency Committee that was refused airtime on BBC. Of course, there was a video public service announcement, so there were a lot of images there that obviously you couldn't see. Devastation, people crying, wounded people, dead people, that sort of thing. So, yeah, it really makes you think, you know, when that kind of thing is considered too controversial to air. Because of the conflict. It's got nothing to do with the conflict. It has to do with the victims. And yeah, there were victims. How can you deny that? All right, our email address, otw@2600.com, if you want to yell and scream about anything that we said here tonight, or if you have suggestions for the theme that we need to decide on one way or another. And also, you know what? There's this, too. Have you heard this? This is... where is it? Okay. Is our Mac acting up again? If you go to, I think it is, I see that little, like, spinning thing going on there. We're supposed to be hearing sound, but we're not hearing sound. Oh, well. If you go to www.2600.com/VOLI, you will hear something. If you don't have a Mac, you'll hear something. It's just a little spinning thing going on there. What's wrong with that? Okay, you'll hear a sound, and you'll see a countdown, and... Okay, now the thing stopped. Well, it says 3 days, 4 hours, 49 minutes, 17 seconds. Which I believe is midnight on Friday night. All right. And we're not getting any sound. I'm sorry. I feel embarrassed. What if I start another... Yeah, I'll start another browser. Let's see if that works. Of course, it'll take half an hour for it to actually load. No problem. We can fill the time by talking about all sorts of other things. It's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock right now. In just 5 minutes, we'll be going to Maine, I suppose, to see how the women's basketball team is going to do tonight. And excuse me while I type the URL in, and we'll see if something actually comes up on the screen. Again, our email address, otw@2600.com. We would love to hear from you with all sorts of interesting comments and suggestions and things. Why is this so slow? Is it running on a 300-baud modem? Okay, there's the countdown again, but I don't hear any sound. Don't hear any sound. Amazing. It's like somebody disabled the sound. Okay, but we're listening to the sound on the same computer before, so I don't know. All right, folks, we're out of time. Emmanuel here for Off the Wall. Stay tuned for the basketball game. We'll see you again next week. Good night.
Long live the child and the man. Long live the mother and the land. The hills behind us and the sea. Reach out to welcome you and me. Valley deep and mountain tall.